Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You want to see Loco?
Good singing, Crowder.
Yes! Dono!
It's the Hockman and Crowder show. Not the heck sure where Hockman is today. I'm sitting in.
My man.
I'm so rusty. It's been about 7 weeks since I've done radio. You guys are on all the radio stations now.
I know, man. I miss you, though, man.
Take all the stations, Papa.
Oh, you got Papa down?
I got Papa down.
Oh,
I've been practicing all day.
No, I love you, man. I love you.
Oh, man. So I want Crowder, you, and Solana to help me feel the vibe of what local radio's been like since August, because can you get a lot of mileage out of Dolphins talk unless we're previewing the draft every day?
Oh, no. You can get a lot of it. Because you just got to go to different ways, man. There's always something to break down.
You know,
good first halves. There's Xavier Howard. You have all-pro corner that doesn't play like an all-pro corner. You're down 10-6. Kenyon Drake fumbles. Preston Williams drops a touchdown. Bro, there's a lot to talk
about. Supposedly Preston Williams and Josh Rosen are best friends, we came to find out. Hey, you're best friends. Can you catch one of the passes the guy throws at you, please?
His hands are weak, man. He needs to get a rice bucket. That's what I got a rice bucket when I played.
I was a little triggered during NFL Sunday when I see that, you know, the defensive back the Miami Dolphins traded away to Pittsburgh, Minkah Fitzpatrick, he arrives in Pittsburgh. Yeah, the Steelers are bad, but he's balling out, catching interceptions. He's leading the team in tackles. Like, he's looking like the guy you drafted at number 11 overall. Yeah. And then a guy who didn't get traded is the highest paid corner in the NFL and Xavier Howard, and he's getting double moved left and right by Amari Cooper. Like, he cannot cover the guy. So, I don't know. Do you feel like when you reach the level of futility that the Miami Dolphins are reaching, and we're going to talk with Dave Hyde from the South Florida Sun Sentinel in about 20 minutes. Dave is going to join us to talk, among other things, Miami Dolphins football. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we'll get in some Miami Heat as Jimmy Butler's getting introduced on Friday. Heat are opening up training camp next week. The Florida Panthers should actually be really good this year, so maybe we can ask Dave if they can kind of save our fandom as South Florida sports fans. But man, do you think, Crowder, when the Dolphins reach this level of futility, that even the really good players, and there aren't many of them on this roster, but a guy like Xavier Howard should be a great player based on the money he's making, that it's hard to be mentally invested in a team that can't even cover a 23-point spread?
We were joking before the season, and we were trying to find like catchphrases for the season. We came up with, this is a season like something you've never seen before.
Which is true.
Very general. Or just watch this. 2019 Miami Dolphins. Watch this. To the point of, there's going to be stuff you see this year that you're not used to seeing, because we're not used to going the path of trying to acquire talent and money and draft picks for the future. Some people call it the word tanking. I'm going to make it sound nice and say just acquiring assets.
When did you become so polite?
I'm a nice guy. Donna, what happened to us, man?
I don't know.
You've been out for, you forgot how nice I was? I'm a very pleasant person. I make everybody feel good about themselves.
That's not what Solana tells me off the air.
What? I don't really like him, though. That's the difference. No, but you think about it like that point where you trade a guy, he goes out and leads a defense on his next team after practicing 4 days. Your Pro Bowl highest paid player on the team and in the league at his position at corner gets destroyed by Amari Cooper. Watch this. A season something like you've never seen before. But it's so different. And the thing with Xavier Howard, though, the frustration of playing on a team with no pass rush, the frustration of him seeing a guy make one move. Every time Amari's two touchdowns and the double move, the first or second play of the game.
He had no answer for the double move.
He was looking back because he made the Pro Bowl off reading a guy, moving his feet. As soon as that guy makes his break, he looks back and finds the ball and gets it. A lot of teams aren't comfortable throwing double moves because it takes a long-ass time to develop. But when you see the Dolphin rush, when you see Dak Prescott back there making hummus through throughout the entire play.
Ordering spicy nuggets. Like, you hear that? Like, when I first saw that clip, like, I thought that was like a joke for a Wendy's ad. Like, he really did that in the huddle. Spicy nuggets are back. I'm going to get some on the way home. Like, that really happened?
I just saw that.
Frank Reich stack 32 Sam, alert X foot. Oh, spicy nuggets are back. I might have to stop on the way home.
When you're speaking about that, you don't really respect the defense you're playing against.
I mean, you don't even have to draw up a play. You're talking about the nuggets you're going to pick up on the way home.
I'll tell you this. When you're calling the huddle that way, you're calling double moves as well. For a quarterback to be that comfortable and against the Dolphin front four, you should be extremely comfortable as a quarterback. That kind of tells you that's the frustration. Why did Xavier Howard get kicked out of the game? Because of the fact that Amari Cooper caught two touchdowns on him and had 88 yards on him,
right,
man-to-man, shadowing him around the field.
I would want to get kicked out of that game, too, if I was having that kind of game. Just get me off that field.
It gets frustrating for defensive backs to have to cover for 4, 5, 6 seconds. I've said it a number of times. I said it yesterday, Dono. Deion Sanders can't cover Amari Cooper for 7 seconds. Like, it's just there's too much field when you're covering a guy man-to-man for him to just get open. You run left, he's going to run right. If you catch up with him left – he's going to run back right. Catch up with him shallow. He's going to run deep. And a quarterback can sit back there. So the frustration's there. But to Xavier, Dave Hyde wrote an article that he talked to me, Randy Mueller, and Jason Taylor about the 07 season compared to this season. 07 was Cam Cameron 1-15. And this season, 0-16. Jason Taylor went to the Pro Bowl that year.
Mm-hmm.
People forgot that. JT still went to the Pro Bowl. I think he had 11 sacks. Like, wow. JT was still doing his thing. We lost 6 games that year by 3 points, last-second field goals. Our loss deficit was like 11. It was nothing like what's going on right now. So Xavier's frustration is, I want to say, justified, but you can't go out there and let your play fall, let your style of play and let your tenacity and what you became great, how you became great, be affected that much by your team not being successful on the field. You still have a responsibility, a one-on-one matchup that you have to win. In 07, JT won his one-on-one matchups. Xavier Howard did not win his one-on-one matchups last week. I do believe he'll bounce back. I think it was a bad game for him. They schemed him up. But, yeah, there is a frustrating factor of playing on a bad team, but it shouldn't affect Xavier like that.
I find myself, because I'm still Crowder, till the end, till death, I am a hardcore Miami Dolphins fan. I'm not going to jump teams. I'm not going to get so frustrated I quit on these guys. I am a Miami Dolphin fan for as long as I'm on this planet. And now I find myself getting triggered when people talk about how bad, like, the Redskins and the Jets are. Because I'm like, hey, don't forget about my Dolphins now. Like, when you're talking, because all that buzz coming off Monday Night Football about how terrible the Redskins are, I'm like, hey, they were somewhat competitive compared to my team. Don't forget, I root for the worst team in the NFL. And I guess the good news is, for those who are in the tank brigade, the pro-tanking crowd, I think we will certainly legitimately know by the end of this season who the worst team in the NFL is. Because I was looking through Crowder, the updated USA Today NFL power rankings, 1-32. And you've got the Dolphins, of course, dead last at 32. Yeah. Then they've got the Redskins at 31, the Bengals at 30, and the New York Jets at 29. The Dolphins play all those teams.
Yeah.
Right? So these four worst teams in the league all play each other. Dolphins and Jets play each other twice. So this isn't like a situation like a college football BCS scenario where how do you really know which team is better than which other team because they didn't play each other. The Dolphins have head-to-heads with all of these other teams that USA Today considers to be almost as bad as Miami, including 2 times against Adam Gase's Jets. So we're going to definitively know by late December who the worst team is in the NFL. I've got my money on my Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I saw power rankings, and then someone came out, there's some with power tankings to go the other way. Well, you're talking about 32, where they said, let's swing it. We're like, if you're power tanking, New England's 32nd.
Right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That better.
The power tanking where, the Kansas City would be 31st. They're trying to win a Super Bowl right now. Dallas would be in the late 20s. The Miami Dolphins are number one.
Yeah.
They're getting destroyed. Even when they come out and play, think about that. Think about playing a half of football where it's 10-6, then you lose by 25 points. You can't generate anything on offense in the second half, and then you let them go down and score, 21 points in the second half. Like, even that, where they come out, and I've seen it with New England and Dallas, I will give credit to O'Shea, really Patrick Graham, the defensive coordinator, mm-hmm. in the Dallas and New England game. To come out and hold New England 13 and Dallas to 10 in the first half, you had a game plan. That's 6 days. I'll explain this to people. You have 6 days to get a first half game plan. This is how the NFL works. When the game is over on Sunday, I don't know if people know this. the coaching staff, when you fly to, let's say you fly to New England on Sunday and you play the Patriots, on the way back from the Patriot game, they don't watch the Patriot game. They watch the next team you're playing.
Okay.
That game's over.
So they're not reviewing the film of, well, what went wrong when the Patriots beat us 43-0? They're looking at the Cowboys.
They're looking at the Cowboys. It's like, hey, we're going to go back and Sunday night later on, Monday morning, they might watch it as a staff, but I want to get prepared for the next game. Let's clean up. We have to watch it and clean up what we did bad, but we need to get ready. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you're preparing for the first half of the next game. And then at halftime, you have 30 minutes to get ready for the second half, because that's what's happened in these last two games, where they have had good defensive schemes against the Patriots and Cowboys. When they go to the locker room and have to adjust at halftime, like you saw Dallas adjust, mm-hmm. when they started going wide open, running with the one back set, they were trying to put the heavy set in, and the Dolphins were doing well against the big heavy sets. They said, you know what, let's spread this thing out and run it out of one back, and the Dolphins couldn't adjust to it. You sit and watch the Dolphins get out coached at halftime, and that's why the Patriots scored what? What would that be, 32 in the second half? What, 43?
No, yeah. I mean, I'm agreeing with you, but I don't know. I could be wrong. It was a lot.
Yeah, a lot of points in the second half. Dallas, 21 points in the second half after scoring 10 in the
Baltimore
first half.
Baltimore still scoring.
Oh, Baltimore. That was just embarrassing. That's why I didn't even bring up that game. But that's what happens, man, when you're a bad team. They did well defensively in the first half of the Patriot and Dallas game, and then the second half went to hell. That's what happens when you have a team that doesn't have a lot of talent, one-on-one matchups all over the board, and you're losing most of those. Out of the 11 one-on-one matchups the Dolphins face every play, they're losing seven of them, eight of them, every Jeez. Single play, Donald.
Can we get
that's why you lose. That's why you lose by 30 points every game, and that's why you're 0-3. You're losing all your matchups. All your one-on-ones, you're in a mismatch.
Can we get some headlines with Alejandro Solana?
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Nailed my name there, Dono. I like it.
Alejandro Solana. I've been practicing that. I've been practicing Papa and Alejandro Solana.
You got a good Papa.
The Jalen Ramsey saga continues, Crowder. So Jaguars cornerback Jalen Ramsey, he was at the team's facility today, but he did not practice because of a back injury now.
I thought he had the flu, or he has both. He's got the back injury and he's got the flu.
He wants to get traded. I mean, that's called the get me out of here injury.
Yeah, he sounds like me in the fourth grade. I didn't want to go to school. I faked sick for like a week. He's doing that. Like he's pulling the 10-year-old playbook.
And back soreness is something that no trainer can argue with you about.
Oh, that's a good call.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, because they're not looking like for inflammation. You nope. tell them, my back is sore. It's your word against theirs.
Torn ACL, MRI. Ankle injury, MRI. Elbow injury, wrist injury, MRI. Little back soreness. There's no MRI for that.
That's like the IBS of injuries. Like there's no like diagnosis for it. It's just like, yeah, I think I have that. Okay.
Tano, are you disrespecting IBS?
I have it.
I'm an IBS community member.
I am also an IBS community member.
Why are you talking about it? But I mean, that's a real deal, man. IBS keeps me up at night.
Yeah, because no doctor can really tell you have IBS. The doctor will tell you don't have anything else, so it must be IBS. Like, that's how they diagnose that.
I'm
right?
in the bathroom like, 12 times a day.
Like, you get that, the CT or the ultrasound, everything looks fine. It must be IBS.
I got to go to the bathroom right now.
You want to take a minute?
Right now, Dono, I got to go to the bathroom. That's IBS.
Okay.
Chargers running back Melvin Gordon could soon be moving up his reporting date, though no final decisions have been made, according to ESPN.
I mean, moving it up like fast enough, like to play this week, or?
I don't believe it would be for this week, but it would definitely be before. I think it's the week 8 deadline that he had before. Right.
The best thing that happened is the Chargers keep losing. They lost last week. They just got to lose, and now they want to add a piece. If they start winning, they don't need you. Will you? What's his name, Eckler? We'll use Eckler. He catches 100 screens a damn game.
I mean, not like Phillip Rivers had his back, you know, during training camp. He said, yeah, we got a bunch of guys. Whatever. If he wants to be here, fine. If he doesn't, we got four other guys you can play.
Phillip got 20 kids. You think he'll have somebody else's back? You got to worry
Probably
about feed,
not.
Feeding all them damn rivers.
He's got mouths to feed. Feeding all the rivers.
Since Dono's back on the air, I feel obliged to give this in my headlines.
You feel what?
Obliged.
Okay.
I think he took the O out of that. It was just obliged. I feel obliged.
He doesn't speak well, Dono.
Hey, you guys have IBS, man.
IBS of the mouth is what you've got.
At 3 p.m., Inter Milan hosts Lazio in a Serie A matchup.
Unbeaten in Serie A so far. I'm going to be very distracted from about 3 to 5 p.m. Crowder's going to have to carry it.
I got you, baby. We'll talk about Pumpernickel.
Oh, man.
The Marlins play game three of their four-game series versus the Mets. First pitch from New York is at 7:10. Barry Jackson tweeted out that the Dolphins' offensive lineman, Danny Isadora, will need surgery, pretty much ending his season.
Jeez.
Damn.
Hurricanes linebacker Zach McLeod told coaches he'd prefer to redshirt. Manny Diaz said the only way he wouldn't redshirt this year would be in an emergency situation.
See, I like that Crowder because, he's barely getting used because with the striker position, they're only going with two linebackers on most sets. And then next year, if you were to lose, you're going to lose, obviously, Pinckney and Quarterman. They're out of eligibility. And then really the only guy I'd have faith in right now outside of those seniors is Sam Brooks. But then next year, if you've got Sam Brooks and Zach McLeod anchoring the linebackers, you're playing with a striker. I feel a lot better about the linebacking situation at the U. I know Miami has plenty of problems after beating Central Michigan 17-12, but at least for 2020, I feel okay about my linebackers.
And with this, the redshirting thing, I love how guys like the Houston quarterback, what's his name, De'Eric something, he's redshirted. He started. He accounted for 50 touchdowns last year, but he saw how the draft is going. Houston's 1-3 right now, and he said, you know what? It would be advantageous for me to play another year in college. So he's going to redshirt. He's the starting quarterback through four games, and he's going to redshirt. McLeod is a piece of this defense, but with his usage, he says, you know what? I can get another year in college. I love how young men are taking advantage of this new redshirting rule so that they can extend their career and hopefully impress NFL teams. That's what it's about. Let's be honest. They want to get to the league. They're using that rule to try to get more film, and I love what kids are doing that route.
And I know that earlier this week, Manny Diaz kind of dismissed the redshirt talk for McLeod, but it makes so much more sense to redshirt him. Like, if you're only using him on special teams and you're talking about a senior linebacker, okay, he's not as good as Pinckney and Quarterman, obviously, but, I mean, he can be an anchor at that position next year. You're barely using him this year. You might as well save his legs for next year. But we're going to talk to Dave Hyde in a little bit here.
And finally, guys, an ice cream shop in Iowa has created a Busch Light flavored soft serve ice cream.
Is that really necessary? Is there alcohol in it? Like, is that necessary?
I think there is alcohol in it. You guys saw the story about the kid who had we talked about it yesterday, Crowder, the kid in game day who had the sign that said, natural Busch Light refund and put up his Venmo. And then, now, I guess he's being pinned for racist tweets, or I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I saw that,
but,
too.
But basically, they did this in honor of him, and they're going to donate all the proceeds to charity.
I like that. Would you drink? Would you eat that, Crowder?
Hell
Busch
no.
Light ice cream?
Hell no. I'm not drinking no beer and no ice cream.
You can't get some Funky Buddha ice cream or something?
No, I love Funky Buddha. I'm not eating ice cream for him. I
would
drink it in beer.
I would try some Hop Gun ice cream.
That Hop Gun be healthy. Listen, don't waste my Hop Gun in ice cream. Just give me the bottle. I drink it old school, man. No, I'm not with food mashups. Hawk's big into food mashups, beer and ice cream. I just want beer and ice cream, and if you drink them back-to-back, you're going to get a stomachache. I'll tell you that much now.
I'm kind of into that. All right.
Milk and beer? Come on, Donald. That's why you don't got IBS. You have bad food decisions.
We figured it out.
You have bad food decisions.
Yeah, I don't actually have IBS. I just drink too much milk with my beer.
Beer and milk? Come on, bro.
Oh, man. So Dave Hyde from the South Florida Sun Sentinel is going to join us next on Hawk and Crowder.
You want to see Loco?
Hawkman and Crowder show. Dono in for Hawkman today. He's on his way to L.A. Getting those pretzels. He's probably flying first class, though. Hawkman's big time, right?
No. Short seats. He don't need no extra leg space. His feet dangle from an airport seat, man. He don't need no extra leg space.
But he probably doesn't even have to go out of his way to get the aisle seat, right? Like, he could sit middle, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. He'll sit right there, man. That's my man Hawk, though. He's not the biggest guy in the world.
Now, what about you with that NFL pension money? You fly first class if you're footing the bill?
You don't get any pension until you're 55.
Oh, you don't?
No, man.
I thought you got it after you retire, the pension.
Man, I ain't got nan dime. Line of duty pay, but that can't make you first class. Line of duty pay monthly is one first class ticket.
Okay.
Yeah, man. We ain't rolling like that. We ain't rolling like Dave Hyde. Dave Hyde got that bread.
Yeah, I think Solana is still endeavoring to track down Dave Hyde. But a couple of Dolphins numbers here before Hyde joins us. And I know you guys had Adam H. Beasley on yesterday, so maybe you discussed this, but I can't get over some of the numbers that he filed to the Miami Herald this week. Categories in which the Dolphins rank dead last. Scoring, 5.3 points per game. It's not good.
Not great. Great in NHL.
That would – if the Florida Panthers can do that, they'd be in really good shape.
They got NHL numbers offensively. It's ridiculous. So,
5.3 points per game. Red zone touchdown percentage, they're the worst in the league at 20%. Mm. Completion percentage, 47.3. Passer rating, 44.7. Third down efficiency percentage, 20. And Crowder, that's a number, the third down efficiency. My entire life as both a Miami Dolphins and a Miami Hurricanes fan, I don't know what it's like to be good on third down. Because neither of my teams are ever good on third down. Like, even when the Hurricanes aren't that bad, they're still like, oh, like, hey, they're 20th in college football in scoring, but they're 118th in third down efficiency. Like that. Every team I root for is terrible on third down.
I would say, well, back in the late 90s, 2000 with the Canes, some hella fight offenses.
At a certain point, they were really good, but from like late Coker on, always bad on third down.
No, and to be honest, that's the quarterbacks. Like since the quarterback guy, he coaches now. Ken
Dorsey?
Dorsey. After Dorsey, maybe a quarterback that's really going to pick a defense apart.
I can't. I mean, we've had some guys who weren't like Brock Berlin, I thought very underrated. But,
okay.
You know, okay.
But no, when you –
Brad Kaya put up some respectable numbers.
I would tell you that. Look if – and we can look it up later. If we look at the opposite side of that third down efficiency in the NFL right now, I guarantee the top eight teams are top eight quarterbacks. Third down is quarterback time. Third down is when your quarterback has to know. This is simple. I'm not going to revolutionize football. If you need five, get six.
Right.
If you need 10, get 11.
My teams are more of if I need five, I'll get two.
That's where we've been. And you can go back even when I played. Like Chad Pennington was decent on third downs.
Yeah.
If you go back to 08, but you would pound it, you get the third and three, and he'd get you four, a little slant route or something like that. Third down efficiency goes all off how good your quarterback is. And we've been struggling quarterback-wise. We know Hawk has the shirt on honkedofflikeagoose.com. The 20-plus quarterback since Marino. Nobody loves him because you shouldn't. But that's where the third down efficiency comes from. It's all on the quarterback.
I love how it's now like the night shirt. It's it's Charlie's grandpa from Charlie and the Chocolate. It goes down to the ankles, down the shirt, with all the quarterback.
When I was a kid, I used to watch that movie and feel sorry for them old bastards laid up in that bed.
I mean, they had like a two-person bed. They were laying like head to toe, four
long
of them in the bed.
Like when you were in middle school and you spent the night. But then when I got older, I looked. I was like, as soon as he had an invitation somewhere, this lazy bastard stood up.
He was doing somersaults when he
stood
up.
He was walking fine all through the chocolate factory.
You thought he would have had bed sores or blood clots or something.
They don't even have a handicap pass on the car. They are healthy as hell. They could all have had jobs. Think about if they would have been eating cabbage soup if all four of them old lazy bastards got up and got them a job welcoming people at Walmart or something like that. They didn't have to eat cabbage soup. They decided to.
I don't know if they had Walmart there either, though, to be fair.
There wasn't no Walmart.
I didn't see any Walmart in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
It was way behind his house. It was on the other side of town.
So I gave you the categories where the Dolphins are dead last. The categories where the Dolphins rank second to last, yards, 222.3 per game. Woof. Yards per play, 3.8. Rushing yards per game, 45. I mean, doesn't Kalen Ballage have 16 carries for 16 yards, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, Kalen's struggling. And he ducks passes.
I noticed that.
I've never seen that before. That blew my mind to see a guy duck a pass on offense. Like, the ball's coming your way.
I don't see that. Like, I haven't seen that above the playground level.
Put your hands up. No, they're trying. And the O-line starts. I do. Kenyon Drake is a talent. Kalen Ballage he showed us flashes, but I don't know how you feel, Don. I don't believe in Kalen Ballage like I believe in Drake. But even Drake is getting destroyed as soon as he touches the ball. There are guys in the backfield every single snap. It just decides on what it depends on which side they come from if you can get a run going. They can't run the ball. They're averaging something crazy. What is it, 2 yards a carry, point something? Like, that's embarrassing. But it does start with the line. Could Kalen and Drake do something in Dallas? Yes.
Sure.
Because Pollard had 110 yards. Yeah, but the offensive line, I put a lot on them. We don't have any Emmitt Smiths here, but I do put a lot of that on them.
I got to admit, since last, I don't know, let's say November, I have flip-flopped on the Drake Ballage thing so many times because before the season started, I was telling people, if you're going to buy stock in somebody, buy stock in Kalen Ballage. I think he's better long-term. He's only let me down so far because I kind of thought with the way that Adam Gase was using Kenyon Drake last year, even though anytime you put faith in Adam Gase's logic, he'll burn you every time. But I was stupid enough to think maybe Gase knows something about, you know, Drake's versatility or his size that I don't know. It's why he rarely uses him in rushing situations. But I thought with Kalen Ballage getting more shine this year starting games that he would, you know, do a little bit better than 1 yard per carry, even behind this offensive line.
He's just not shifty enough. If you see Drake's runs, he has to break tackles in the backfield, which he can, juke people. His spin wasn't bad. His elbow just hit a guy. Like, think about even that play fumble. Think about that. He gets the ball. He gets to the line of scrimmage. There's a backer shooting the gap. Nobody touched him. He has to spin off of him, and his elbow ends up hitting Durham Smythe. Like, if anybody's going to get touches, it should be Drake. Kalen Ballage, he's not shifty enough. He needs to go – he's a one-cut back. He has to be behind a good offensive line.
Right, yeah, you're right. He needs to be behind a line that's going to get him, like, 3 free yards, and he's running downhill after that. Like,
when he gets his momentum, he can do something. But Drake can create. I want even after the fumble in the, inside the 10 last week, Drake should get more touches than Kalen.
You can text us at 67974. Texter writes, Rosen is my quarterback, T.O. voice. I hope he wins us 4 games so we get knocked off the first overall pick. I mean, is that coming from an actual Dolphins fan that you would rather win 4 games?
I hope not. I've heard that twice. Oh, and you know what? I think 3 times. I was at my kid's school today, and the security guard asked me that too. Hey, man, Rosen looks good. You think he's the guy?
I mean, he doesn't look terrible, but he also doesn't look like the guy.
I'm going to ask Dave. If he gets on.
Yeah, I just spoke to Dave. I pushed him to 235, minutes. He was a little busy a couple minutes ago, so next segment.
What's he busy doing? All our teams are terrible. Is he getting ready for Heat and Panther season?
I think that's what it is, Dono. He's writing a very long article on the Panthers.
I do feel kind of bad, like, for the Dolphins beat guys because, I mean, they just have to keep beating the dead horse, so to speak. Yeah. Like, they have to keep writing about tanking and, I just watched Tua play on Saturday. He looks really good. Maybe he's our quarterback in 6 months or whatever it is. Like,
only week three.
At some point, it's like it's hard to dig that deep for material.
Oh, it's going to be tough on him. But with the Rosen thing, is there anything this year Rosen can do to make you not want to draft Tua?
No, in fact, I know how angry I would be if they don't draft Tua or whoever. Like, okay, I guess if they decide they like Fromm or her, whatever. But if they don't draft one of those premium quarterbacks, I'm going to be so mad that they're putting all their eggs in the Rosen basket the same way they put all their eggs in the Tannehill basket for 7 years, and it set the franchise back at least 7 years. Like, I don't want that. I mean, listen, Rosen is under contract for, 3 more years at a really inexpensive price on the rookie deal. Okay, if he wants to whine and complain about not being the starter, wants to get traded, that's up to him like he did. You know, I don't want to make it sound like I'm characterizing it in a negative way, but obviously when he was in Arizona in the same situation, he wanted out. So if he wants out again, I guess that's his decision to make if he wants to make a stink of it. But I wouldn't mind keeping him here to compete or to help bring along the next guy. But don't put all your eggs in the Rosen basket. I will be so angry at Chris Greer if they decide to let that first round go by, where they have 3 first-round picks, by the way. If you let that first round go by without drafting one of these premier quarterbacks, I will riot.
Rosen balls. You still draft a quarterback, and you put yourself in a situation that – Kansas City was in with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes.
Fair.
That's exactly what they should do. If Rosen doesn't ball, okay. Like you're saying, it's $2 million for the next 3 years. Arizona paid him his big bulk. They paid him $10 million for that first year with his signing bonus. You have him very cheap for the next couple years. If he doesn't play well, if he plays okay, like if the Dallas game was Rosen, you keep him and let him back up the young guy. If he balls out, like Alex Smith wasn't bad with Kansas City. He was getting to the playoffs. He just couldn't
win. I mean, finally,
when
he was like 35, he was playing really well. Like he peaked very late, but he was good.
And then you brought in Patrick Mahomes, who is a revolutionary quarterback. Like he is an era. Like he's the next Tom Brady. You bring in that guy, and then you get rid of Alex Smith, or let Rosen back him up. You can get rid of him, trade him, get another asset for him, or let him just back up the young guy if the young guy comes in balling. If Rosen's not good or if Rosen's good, you keep him on the team and you draft a quarterback with one of those high picks. I believe that's the route.
All right, we've tracked down Dave Hyde from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. We'll talk to him next. What do you guys call this, the Loco Hour?
You want to see Loco? That was pretty good.
You want to see Loco?
That was pretty good. Couldn't tell which one was the clip.
You know, I sound just like him.
So it's the Loco Hour of the Hawk Minute Crowder Show. Dono in for Hawk today. Hawk is on his way to Los Angeles. We go out now to the guest line and bring in our good friend Dave Hyde from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Dave, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing well. How's everybody doing?
Doing very well. And I wanted to ask you, because everyone knew that there was a really good chance the Dolphins would be really, really, really bad before the season even started. All this talk about tanking and everything. But has it been kind of a harsh reality to actually have to cover a team that's this bad? Was the expectation different from reality for you?
God, we've only covered three. And at the end of the third game, I was walking. I thought, I got no ideas to write. So we got 13 more to go. So it's look, I predicted 0-16. I didn't think it'd be this bad. I think I was an optimist, too, at the time, because losing by an average of 39 points, that's staggering to me.
How much of it, because the personnel we know is very far from being what you should see on a competitive NFL team. So how much do you nitpick the coaching? Like, do you feel like Flores and his staff are doing a good job considering, or are they big contributors to the problems?
Yeah, to me, when they went down this road, I said, I'm going to give Brian Flores wide latitude here because nobody's going to be able to win with this. The concerning thing to me is that it didn't turn into a three-ring clown show, and I still have that concern. I really didn't like that. You know, I get why people want to get out of here, but if I'm at the team and you got a talent of Minkah Fitzpatrick, one of your foundational players, 22 years old, I have a hard time. I just can't trade him just because he wants to get out. So how Brian Flores, you know, we're in week four now, how in week 9 and 10, how he keeps guys, let's just face it, veterans on the field, willing to sacrifice their bodies if things remain this uncompetitive, which, you know, look, they're going to have to be in some games because some of the opponents coming up. But if they keep losing just to keep guys out there, and we're not even talking anymore about building a culture. It's just surviving the season.
They're trying to survive through it, Dave. It's funny you talk about the coaching because one of my questions was, and honestly, Dave, this is what would upset me. In the New England and Dallas game, you're down 13-0 and 10-6 at half. You played strong on defense, at least. Offensively, you know, you hadn't put much points up, but you looked like you should be on the field with them. You come out in the second half, and you get destroyed. At halftime, did they not coach him up? Is it fatigue? Is the defense on the field too long? Like, those second halves of the New England and Dallas game, that would have frustrated me as a defender on the Dolphins.
Yeah, and look, the New England game, I think, five of the first six series on offense were three and outs. That tells you how much the defense was on the field. I think how could you maintain going against the New England offense and the Dallas offense when you're just being put out there time after time? I think it's exhaustion. You know, maybe it's beyond my football knowledge, really, to know adjustments and all that. But when I look at the roster they have and the – you know, I thought the first half, Dallas's offense was still looking at, wow, we've watched this team on film for 2 weeks and look how bad they are. We're going to try. In fact, Dak Prescott said after the game, I got greedy. You know, I'm going to throw the ball up there because I thought, you know, hey, I'd seen it work for 2 weeks. So, they played defensively well the first two half of those games, but I also think they just got exhausted by the second half.
And Dave, in the Sun Sentinel, Dave interviewed me for his recent column.
This is my quid pro quo, a little quid pro quo. You interview me, I interview you.
Yes, sir. We you know what I'm saying? We're
media
members. I was
wondering how we got a big time score like Dave.
Yeah. We got to watch out for each other. But Sun Sentinel, it's Dave Hyde Sports at Dave Hyde Sports on Twitter. It's an article about the difference between 07 to 2019. He interviewed Mandy Mueller, who was the GM at the time, Jason Taylor, and myself. And as you did that research, going there, you have to read it. I read it. I had to read my own quotes, Donald. I'm like that. But, yes, as you did your research, Dave, what is worse? Because you're trying not to win and you lose three games in a row. You're probably going to lose a number more, 16, or trying to win and losing 15. Like, as you talk to me, JT, and Randy, like, which is worse for a team, not trying to win and lose or trying to win and still losing?
In the moment, I think this is worse. In the moment, I remember when I interviewed Randy Mueller, I asked him a comparison. There was a pause, and he said that quote. I don't think they're comparable at all. And he went on about why not. And I said, huh, Jason Taylor said the same thing, that you guys were in games. You were snake bit. You had and then injuries started to pile up. So in the moment, losing by 39 points, I mean, you had the quote that I loved where you said that halftime, if you were playing in that Baltimore opener at halftime, you might have been crying.
Yes.
Because they just whipped your butt. Every time they touched the ball, they scored. So in the moment, this is worse. This season's going to be worse. Now, you temper that by saying, okay, this is part of a bigger plan. If you're buying into the plan that they're going to come out of this with really controlling the first round of the draft next year, going after a franchise quarterback and building a what they hope to be a sustained winner. So, but look, I take pity on the veteran players on the Dolphins right now. So there's some of the younger ones, guys just happy to be in the league. They picked up off the waiver wire, happy to have a job. That's different. But for a guy like Xavien Howard, who's an elite cornerback, or Bobby McCain, a great veteran, I take pity on those guys having to go through this.
You know, 5 first-round picks in the next 2 years. But should Dolphin fans be all in on trusting Chris Greer to be the one to make all those correct picks and fix this?
Great question. Look, he's got to be better than he's been, right? I mean, that's the flat-out bottom line. Now, they backstopped the decisions. You look what they've done in the front office. Very smart. Reggie McKenzie's come in from Oakland, veteran personnel guy. Marvin Allen, a veteran guy, personnel guy from Buffalo and Kansas City, among other places. So they build up the front office knowing that, look, all their chips are in the next 2 drafts. And so that's smart. You look at the most recent drafts, yeah, they're open for question. Chris Greer's got to be better than he's been. That's the bottom line of here. And to me, what I've written and said is, if you have to tank, it's the last refuge of dumb franchises. You've said, we can't go out and find a franchise quarterback any other way. We didn't see Patrick Mahomes like Kansas City. We didn't see Carson Wentz like Philadelphia used our trade, our draft, that trade to trade up. You didn't think Lamar Jackson, you know, the verdict's a little out on him still, but you didn't see, you couldn't find guys that other teams have invested in or didn't trust them. So you have to tank to get a number one pick and get it. So yeah, there's questions for Chris Greer.
And Dave, I got people asking me now, with Rosen playing, which he did look better than Fitzpatrick, in my opinion. A lot of people are coming up to me asking me about, hey, could he convince the Dolphins not to get a quarterback? Dave, I don't give a damn what Rosen does for the rest of the year. You go out and get the top quarterback that you've evaluated as your franchise changer and let him compete, whatever you want to do with Rosen. But is there anything Rosen could do that makes them not draft a quarterback in the first round very high, 1, 2, 3?
He would have to do something that I can't even imagine, okay? I mean, he'd have to be so good that I can't even imagine anybody, first of all, playing with this group.
Yeah.
You know, the line's awful. There's no number one or number two receiver out there, as much as people want to say how good the receivers are. So then you throw in the fact that, the defense hadn't been great either. So you got to score points. So I agree with you, Josh Rosen. To me, did pretty much, given the circumstances, everything he could do in the first half, especially last week. But is there anything he could do, given the supporting cast around him, to prove that, he's the answer? I don't see it. I mean, maybe after week 16, we're wowed, but I think there's questions still about Josh Rosen, how much the game really means to him.
We're joined by Dave Hyde from the South Florida Sun Sentinel here on the Hockman and Crowder Show. Dono in for Hockman today. You know, Dave, now, luckily for you, you're a columnist. You get to write about other teams, which is kind of good and bad, depending on which other teams those are. But you know this market very well. Do you kind of foresee Dade and Broward catching Florida Panthers fever? I mean, I was around for the Stanley Cup Finals run in 1996. I remember how fun that was. I'm not necessarily thinking the team this year gets that far, but do you think South Florida can start buying into hockey if Joel Quenneville can really put a special product out there?
As a fallback for every other franchise, well, they're in a down cycle, but for them, a down cycle is just missing the playoffs. Will people fall in love? Here's my view of what will happen this year. The Panthers will be a pretty good team. I mean, let's face it, if they're not a good team this year, they're never going to be a good team. They got a Hall of Fame coach now. They got the number one free agent goalie out there, one of the top goalies in the league. So to go along with what other is a, you know, it's not even a young nucleus anymore. It's in their prime nucleus, good players. So they'll have a good year, and people will go, why aren't people going to the games? Why aren't they going to the games? Then the playoffs will come. And I think people will get excited. And if they have success in the spring, I'm not meaning a Stanley Cup, but just, you know, make a little run, that'll carry into next year. And really what the Panthers need to do is have a sustained few years of winning to build their fan base up from, really, it's just the lowest common denominator of hockey fan left out there.
Dave, does the other teams really think about that? Do the Panthers have meetings and say, hey, the Dolphins ain't nothing right now, man. The Heat don't have no stars, man. Let's do something. Let's bring in Bobrovsky. Let's shake it up.
I don't think they strategically think, oh, we need to go out and get somebody, and because the stage is empty and we could occupy, the center ring right now. But on the other hand, they think, God, if we would just start winning, people would actually start following us because nobody else is winning. And let's face it, as a columnist, I'm looking for a winner right now. All I'm writing about is four pro teams and the University of Miami football and that are struggling in various forms, but they're all struggling.
Well, and speaking of struggling football teams, I know that my Miami Hurricanes did take a W this past Saturday, but it didn't feel much like a win, Dave. And, you know, kind of before that Central Michigan game, I was thinking, man, this feels like a really bad time to have a bye week because they'll win this game easily, build some momentum, then you hit a bye week. Then after the game, I reflect on it. Wow, this is the perfect time to have a bye week before you hit that ACC Coastal meaty part of the schedule coming up. But, I mean, well, what did you make of that performance this past Saturday? And are the Hurricanes kind of even farther behind what we thought they were after those first couple of losses?
Look, after they went into the year, and everybody expect magically all their openings to be okay, all their problems from last year to be solved. And I was like, look, I love what Manny Diaz did in the offseason. He changed the narrative of the team and the new Miami and all that. But they still got all the problems they did that getting run off the field of 35-3 by Wisconsin and losing, what was it, 5 of their last 7. So, there's no magic wand to be waved here, and now struggling Central Michigan, that's beyond what they should do. And then again, that loss to North Carolina is looking worse and worse when you see what North Carolina has done in the last couple weeks. So the other thing is we made a big deal, including me, made a big deal of the transfer portal, how Miami is working it and they're really good and bringing in all this talent. You see what Lawrence Cager did for Georgia last week?
I mean, seriously.
Wow.
I guess nothing should surprise me at this point.
We forgot guys went the other way in the transfer portal, too.
Hey, Dave, if it gets bad, man, just go dive for some lobsters, bro. That's all we can do,
man.
Baby. It's lobster
we'll
season.
Water, right, Channing?
Yeah, man.
I'm
trying to set up a fishing trip or something, man, because these Dolphins are upsetting
me. Yeah, let's. I remember in 07.
speaking of 07, Shannon, when you guys were struggling, I did a column. I got to find something else to do. You know, someone give me ideas. I'll do anything on a Sunday. Some besides go watch it. And this was by December. Someone wrote in, come and help me put up my Christmas lights. And I went out there instead of going to your guys' game when it was like, you're what, Owen, whatever. I went out to this guy's house and I helped him put up his Christmas lights. So I might have to dredge that up again on Sundays, but going lobster sounds a lot better.
I'm telling you, that 07, you should have called me. I'd have left the game. I knew what the outcome was. I would have hit it.
How do you go lobstering? You like drop the trap into the water, or you glove them? Like,
no,
how do you do that?
Me and Dave, we were men.
Educate them a little. Educate them, Channing.
We swim down there to the big reef heads, and we poke them out. We get a little sticky. You tickle them out, and you put a net behind them. You poke them in the face. They shoot into the net. You swim back to the boat. You put them in the cooler, and you eat the hell out of them.
I would just drop the trap down there. They got claws.
Twist their heads off when you get back to the dock, and then you're all set.
Dave, I might go this weekend.
I didn't know Dave Hyde was a talented lobster man. You can follow him on Twitter at Dave Hyde Sports. Dave, thank you so much for the time.
All right, guys. See you.
It's Dave Hyde there from the South Florida Sun Sentinel.
When it comes to tailgating, Publix always rises to the occasion. Dave's right there talking about it. You know, it's tough sometimes to watch the Dolphins, but get a good tailgate in. After the game, you can go back to the parking lot and still continue to eat the delicious Publix food. And pregame, guys, this Sunday, we've had two of them so far. This is the third Publix Ultimate Tailgate Party at the stadium. Every home game between the south and southeast corner of Hard Rock Stadium, you got to come see how to tailgate with Publix. Two weeks ago, Flo Rida was there. We have all kind of special guests. We have all the games out there at the cornhole. We had the Connect Four. We have the tire throw. We have the food that Publix has a whole spread out there. We have music. It is a great time. Come see how to really tailgate with Publix Ultimate Tailgate at every home game this season between the south and southeast corner. But for this football season, Publix pulled up something special. There was something special that they had for this season, and it is now a staple in my diet. I am addicted to the Miami Dolphin Pub subs, stacked high with crispy chicken tenders, boar's head bacon, lettuce, tomatoes, cheddar cheese, and topped off with a garlic parmesan sauce. It is delicious. Be the king of tailgate, the queen of tailgates at Publix, the official supermarket of the Miami Dolphins. Y'all have been going to the Publix Deli for years. Y'all know about all the cold cuts, all those delicious sandwiches, the chicken wings, the rotisserie chickens, the barbecue, lemon pepper. They have all the good stuff. The fried chicken, the 8-piece. Oh, I love them. I stop there once a week and grab one of those. But you know all the deli items, the platters. They have platters to feed dozens. Drinks, ice, beer, chips, sides, snacks. They got it all at Publix. And busy moms, busy dads like myself, like Dono, you have a wonderful son yourself. You try to spend time with your kids. You work hard. I coach on Friday night. Saturday, I try to spend some time with my babies, so I can still have a good time on Sunday working. But if I want to tailgate, if I want to have a watch party, Sunday night get home and want to watch that Sunday night football game, have me a little watch party, Publix will deliver. Publix.com/Dolphin Subs. Go to Publix.com, order your food. They will deliver it to your house so you can spend time with your kids and still enjoy a good party, guys. Busy moms, busy dads, you got to take advantage of Publix.com. Find all your tailgating needs at Publix, where shopping is a pleasure.
Coming up next on Hawk and Crowder, we thank all the stations, Papa.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.